Thank the Lord this evening for His love and His mercy and His goodness.
Amen.
We call these meetings revivals, and it is revivals because the Lord wants to come and move in our midst. If you're not saved tonight, the Lord wants to stir you up. If you are saved and you are walking with God tonight, the Lord wants to pay you a visit, and His desire is that we draw closer to the Lord.
Yes, it is.
Ask an interest in your prayers tonight. Renee, would you write for me on the board, please? Title of the message tonight is Life-Giving Water. It's a little bit of background. I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Dead Sea. Start with. The Dead Sea is, you'll read about it, and it's referenced in the Scripture in the Old Testament. It was located in the Jordan Rift Valley, and it was a salt lake. It is a salt lake. It's still there today. And Jordan is on one side. Israel is on the other side. The Dead Sea is 30 miles long, and it's about 9 miles wide at its widest point. Now, I have never been there, so this is just from some research and reading. But it had the climate at the Dead Sea, it's very hot there. The lowest temperature it gets is around 68 degrees, and it gets up to about 102 degrees. Average annual rainfall is about 2 inches a year. So it is a very dry place. In the Dead Sea, something that is very interesting about it, it is 9.6 times saltier than the ocean. All right, so it is 35% salt. So in the Dead Sea, if with keeping that in mind, I would not advise you to go fishing in the Dead Sea, because you will truly fish all night and you will catch no fish. You will fish all day and you will catch no fish. Because in the Dead Sea, there is no life. Now, there is a little bit of bacteria that exists in the Dead Sea. But there's no plant life. Fish cannot exist in the Dead Sea. There are no rolling waves. Keep in mind, this is some heavy water now. So if you get in the water, you will not drown in the Dead Sea. You will float. In the Dead Sea, you will not find in that region, you will not see the birds flying over that expanse of water, because they can't drink it. So it's not advantageous for a bird to build its nest on the shores of the Dead Sea. To get a little picture tonight, it's not a place that's conducive to life because of the measure of salt. So with that in mind, let's turn and read some of the prophecies over in Ezekiel, in the 47th chapter. There are some wonderful, beautiful prophecies that were given in Ezekiel. And we're going to read a couple of them this evening. But in Ezekiel, in the 47th chapter, beginning with verse 1, it said, "He brought me again unto the door of the house." And he was speaking about the temple. All right, so Ezekiel had a vision of the temple up on the mount. And it said, "Behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the water came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar." Now, it is noteworthy that in the temple in Jerusalem, there was not a fresh spring of water that was up inside the temple. Now, there were some cisterns, and actually Solomon had what they called the brazen sea, and it had piped some water up there into the temple for the priests to use because of all the sacrifice. But there was no spring of fresh, living, invigorating water that flowed out of the side of the temple. So this that Ezekiel was speaking of was a prophecy of something that was to come. And if you can just get a picture of the temple up on the mountain, and out of the temple was flowing some water. All right? It was a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
All right? And it's when we begin to read and understand, it was a prophecy of the coming of Christ and what He came to bring, the good news of the gospel. Tonight, the gospel is not a dead message. The message of the gospel is something that will bring life to your soul and to your spirit. Tonight, if you are feeling very dead in your spirit, if you maybe are a part of a congregation and maybe you have some good traditions in your life, I'm not all real interested in what church you go to or where you fellowship. Not real interested tonight in religion. I'm not real interested in the traditions that you hold. We're interested tonight in the living water that comes from Jesus Christ. Because there is nothing else that will bring life to the soul that is dead except for the living water of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Keep in mind here, He said that water issued out from under the temple. You know what happened with that water when Jesus Christ came? He started with 12 men, didn't He? He called 12 disciples. And then we find pretty soon He was sending out 120. And in the upper room, there were 120 devoted saints of God that were praying after Jesus died and rose from the dead on the day of Pentecost. You remember how many were saved? There were 3,000 that were saved that day. The gospel message began to spread. And how does it exist today? You know, the gospel has been spread across the world.
Yes.
I know there are pockets of people that have not heard. But generally speaking, the gospel has reached many corners of the earth.
Yes.
It started out small and it spread and spread and spread. Just like it does when we taste of Jesus Christ. When we get a little taste of the gospel and we receive what the Lord came to do. Do you know the scripture here? And we'll read, maybe look at a little bit of it. But it talks about as that water flowed out from under the temple, He said to wade into it ankle deep.
Yes.
You can kind of step in. I'm just going to kind of get my feet wet in the gospel. I've just started out for the Lord. And He said to come on out a little bit deeper. And the man walked out until he was knee deep. And pretty soon He said, just come on, until he was in swimming water.
Yes.
He was in water that was deep enough to swim in. In other words, He was in a place that He was just getting rid of all anchor to land. And I'm just going to let the gospel take me. I'm going to let Jesus have full control of where He wants to go. Well, go with me then down to the 7th verse. In verse 8, He said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert. Did you get that? The waters that come out of the temple of this vision, it said it's going to go out to the desert and go into the sea. And that sea that Ezekiel was referencing was the Dead Sea. All right? This place where there is no life. This place where there are no fish. This place where there are no plants. This water that comes out of the temple. And I want you to get a little picture of just this little trickle running out of the temple. And as it goes, it gets deeper and deeper and wider. It flows into the Kidron, the stream of Kidron, and then it flows down into the Dead Sea. Listen to what He said. He said it would go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. The waters of the Dead Sea. That's why they call it dead. There's no life. But when the water that comes from the temple flows down into that body of water, that deadness is going to be healed. He said, it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. Wherever this water touches, there's going to be life.
Yeah.
And He said, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Isn't that a beautiful picture tonight?
Yeah.
We have this picture of the temple, and here this little trickle of water coming down, and as it goes out of the temple, it gets wider and wider and deeper until it's just flowing as a great river, and it runs down into the Dead Sea where there was no life. But it said where there is that water touches, there's going to be healing. No more is it a dead sea, but it will be a place, an environment that is good for the fish to be. It's a place the plants can begin to grow. It's a place that the birds will come and can drink and can flourish. Because living waters have touched the dead. Yeah. You know, that's exactly what the gospel is. Yeah. The gospel can come into those that are dead in sin, and they're in sin, and they're dead spiritually, and it can bring life. Tonight, if you have some kind of a experience or lifestyle of religion, but you have not tasted of that living water of Jesus Christ, He wants you to step into that water tonight. He wants you to have something that's vibrant and living and alive. You know, this is something that cannot be passed down from generation to generation. You see, I can hear about the truth. We're blessed when we hear the gospel. We're blessed when we've been raised in homes. We've had parents that have taught us about Jesus Christ. But that's not going to bring life to us. It's going to be when we choose to step into that water that it's going to bring life. Where there was something dead, where there was death, there was life. And where there was sickness, there was healing. God's grace brings life tonight. And there is no reason that we should come to a meeting like this and go home dead spiritually. No. There is no reason that we should come to a meeting and say, well, we're going to revival and we'll sing a little bit and pray and listen to the preacher and then we'll go back home the same way we came. You know, the Lord does not want you to go home the same way that you came tonight. If there is a need in your life, there is some living water that you can put out and say, Lord, I want to get in that living water. I want to step into that stream of grace that can transform my life. Religion cannot do that. There is no ministry that can do that. There is no lifestyle that can do that. There is no good tradition that can do that. It is an issue of us opening up our heart and saying, Lord, I need something divine in my life. And where you have not been able to live a holy life, there is a power tonight that can enable you to live a holy life. Where there has been deadness, where there is addiction, there is power to break that through the power of Jesus Christ tonight. That's living water. I don't want to build by the Dead Sea. But I want to be by that stream that is flowing on a daily basis when I have a need in my heart. Thank God there's a place of healing. There's a place of renewal. There's a place of restoration. Thank the Lord for that. Many of you are familiar. When Jesus went and talked to that Samaritan woman in John in the 4th chapter. You remember? You can read it. He came and there was a Samaritan woman that came and He said, give me to drink. And right there, what Jesus was doing was taboo. Number one, here's a man asking a woman that wasn't family to give him a drink. And number two, she was a Samaritan. She was ostracized from the Jewish people. And yet the Son of God did not care what her background was. He wasn't concerned with all that. He was interested in her soul, just like He is in us tonight. And He said, give me to drink. And then she went there and He said, you know, He said, if you'd asked me to give you a drink of water, He said, you won't ever thirst again. She kind of looked at Him and said, that sounds pretty good. I wouldn't have to keep coming to this well anymore. He said, this well, this water that I will give you will be in you a well of water springing up into what? Into everlasting life. It is a well that will not go dry. Y'all ever had a well go dry on you? You had to dig another well. We had a well that got in, actually when I grew up as a boy at the chapel there in Oregon, the well got contaminated. It got contaminated because of the farmers and because of some of the livestock that was around. We couldn't drink of that water. You know how we found out that we shouldn't drink of it? After one meeting, a lot of us started coming down sick. Started getting sick and had the water tested and realized this is not good water to drink. Do you know there's other water out there that you can choose to drink of tonight? Yes. There's water that you can choose to drink of. There's the water of religion. Yes. There's the water of entertainment. Yes. There's the water in the sports world. There's the water of self-righteousness. Yes. Waters of good traditions. There's waters you can drink of, but there is nothing that will bring life to the soul except Jesus Christ. And that is what the gospel is. It was flowing down and it reaches, and everything it touches, it brings life. Have you tasted of it this morning, tonight? Have you tasted of that water? You say, well, I've been coming to church for a long time. I'm a pretty good person. That's not what I'm interested in.
No.
Have you tasted of that life-giving water that Jesus Christ has to offer tonight? It's there for each and every one of us this evening. There's living water. It's water that will bring about a change. It's nourishing water. I was struck in, and I've been a lot of places where you don't want to drink the water. You know, we're used to in our country just turning on the tap and okay, this is going to be good water. Been a lot of places, if you drink the water, you will get sick.
Yes.
And so you learn, don't drink that water. And heard about over in Kenya, when they have a gathering like this, and there's not water close by, I want to tell you what they do. You bring your own water. All right? But because we want to have fellowship, because we want to be, we're in unity here, I'll bring some water from this well from home over here. And you might go out to this ditch. And you'll get a bucket of water, and someone else will get some water from that old creek where they've been bathing in, and they've been washing their clothes in, and their soap suds, and it's not moving. And we'll get some water from there, and we'll all bring our water together, and we'll pour it into a common bucket. And then we'll all drink of the same water. And it's no wonder why so often they leave their gatherings, their stomach's hurting, and they're getting sick because they merge their water. Do you know that's what's happened in religion today?
It's true.
That's what's happened with religion. I'll bring my doctrines and my understanding, and I'll pour it in the pot.
Yeah.
And you bring your doctrines and your understanding, and you'll put your little addition in, and pretty soon we'll have a congregation.
Yeah.
You give what you have and I'll give what I have and we'll start us a little group here. You know that will bring death spiritually.
Yes, it will.
There is nothing that we can change from the Scripture that will bring life. We need to accept the gospel just like it is.
Yes.
It's life-giving. But what the religious world is doing is polluting it with their ideas and their opinions.
Yes.
And it's wrong of us tonight. It's not politically correct. But it is wrong of us to get this mentality as the world trying to go the same place and everybody's means well and we'll all just get their own way. Tonight there is one way to have spiritual life and it is through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He is the door and He is the only way that we can access God Himself.
That's right.
There are some good things that are out there, but there is nothing like the life-giving water of the gospel.
Yeah.
So what are you drinking of tonight? We re-sang that verse in number 300. I am drinking at the fountain,
yes,
where I ever would abide. For I tasted what? Life's pure river. It's talking about that vision that Ezekiel had of that water coming out of the temple. And wherever that water went, it began to give life. Do you have life? Do you know there are a lot of homes tonight that need spiritual life brought into them?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Told my wife today on the way to service, I said, I am convinced that two people that have a desire to love the Lord can work together and get along and have a blessed marriage. As different or as similar as they are, when their desire is to serve God and they have been touched by that life-giving water, it will transform your home.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you'll always understand each other. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be just like, well, I wish it was this way. But it will change your attitudes. It will change your dispositions. It will change how you operate. Because when we are touched by the gospel and we allow the Lord to work in our life, it transforms. And where we have been sick, there is healing. You know, sometimes, and I'll say this to the saints tonight, if you love the Lord, sometimes we just need to get out a little deeper in the grace of God. Lord, I'm saved and I love you, but I'm struggling here and I need some healing. I want to step in to that life-giving water because I want something that will bring about a change in my life. Amen. You can go to all of the conferences. You can get all the marital advice. You can go to all of the places that you want, but there is nothing tonight that compares to that dynamic, life-giving water that comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Because it's the gospel that changes people. To those that are perpetual liars. Do you know what happens to perpetual liars that get touched by this life-giving water? They become truth tellers. Do you know what happens to those that are adulterers and fornicators and some of the vile things that are happening in our world today? Do you know what happens when those people are touched by the water that Jesus Christ has to offer? They become holy people. Someone mentioned the other day, they said, talking about the Taliban in Afghanistan, do you know they would make wonderful saints of God?
Yes.
Take that dedication and take that purpose. If they would be touched by the life-giving water, it would turn that desert into an oasis of life.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what the gospel did. Where there was deadness and there was no fruit growing. How's the fruit level in your life tonight? How's the spiritual fruit, the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the goodness and the meekness? How is it growing in your life? You say it's getting a little sparse. Do you know what you need to do? You need to step in a little bit further into that stream of God's grace because it will begin to transform your life. There is no need to keep going. And this is not about mind over matter tonight. This isn't about, well, if I just try this hard enough. No, this is about recognizing I need a touch from God. This is about recognizing that I have a need in my life and I know where to go to. It's that well of water. That if there's some fresh water here, and there is, you know, I don't fear to drink this. Does that make you thirsty for some water? Just to sit there and watch someone drink, and if there was some ice in it, would be even better, wouldn't it? But do you know it's one thing to look at other people that are enjoying life with the Lord, and you think, I just can't have it. It seems like I'm just missing out on, do you know there's life-giving water for you tonight? And there's no need for you to get thirsty and just say, well, I'll go. I don't even know if there's water. I didn't look at this ditch this year. No, sometimes there's a little water down there. Anybody thirsty? You want to go down to that ditch and get a drink? You say, no, not really. Why are so many people then going to the ditch in the world trying to find something to satisfy their soul? Why is it that so many are turning to the things of the world thinking it's going to satisfy? It doesn't. It brings more sickness. Yeah. It brings more death. Yeah. But thank God there is life-giving water that changes. And that's the very reason why when the prodigal son came home, his father welcomed with open arms. And he said, my son that was dead is alive again. Why was he alive? Because he had been touched. He had been touched by that life-giving water. Thank the Lord. There's some more prophecy in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah 13, verse 1, it says, and in that day there shall be a fountain opened in the house of David to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. In that day. When was that day? He was talking about the day of Jesus Christ. He was talking about the dispensation of grace. I heard someone recently talking about some prophecies here, and they were like, well, this is going to be the millennial. I thank God that we do not have to wait for another day. Amen. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what is it?
Righteousness.
It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You can step into those waters tonight.
Yes,
you don't need to think, well, someday I'll just get to heaven and escape all this. And it's all. No, the Lord has something for you tonight.
Yes,
the Lord has something good for you tonight. Yes. That you can have joy and peace.
Amen.
And begin to bear some fruit.
Amen.
Where does it come from? Because where I was living in the Dead Sea, I've been touched by the healing waters of Jesus Christ. Zechariah in the 14th chapter. the 8th verse. He said, it shall be in that day that living water, here's that term living, it's not stagnant, it's not dead, it's not contaminated, it's pure, it's clean, and it will bring life to you. It'll give you energy, it will give you strength, it'll bring renewal.
Yes.
He went on then to say that living water shall go out of Jerusalem, half to the former sea and half of them to the hinder sea. In the summer and in the winter shall it be. So what was the prophecy there? He was talking about a stream, a river that would not dry up. There are some places they have a stream flowing through, or a river, and then other times it's just a dry, rocky bed. Think, well, there's no water flowing. Well, it's summertime. But come fall, come spring, there's going to be water running one more time. Do you know the Lord has something that can perpetually run in your life tonight?
Yes.
There is an experience that we can have in Jesus Christ tonight that there is, it's living water bubbling up. The enemy would like to close those wells up. He would like to cause us to feel like, well, I had an experience here, and now I'm not tasting that, and it's just kind of dried up, and I hope that sometimes it works again. No, in the summer and the winter, it shall be there. That means that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still bringing healing 2,000 years later. Isn't that wonderful? The blood has lost none of its power. It's still there. There's a song that we sing sometimes. Maybe you know it. It's talking about the power that's in the blood. And it says to every mom, dad and mother,
and
all their sons and daughters who need an encouraging word.
God's love abundantly
brings pardon full and free. Because there's still a lot of power in the blood. Do you know that it hasn't lost any power? There's still an experience that you can live a consistent, victorious, holy life in Jesus Christ. Yes, there are places that we're growing in. There's places that sometimes we stumble, but we're headed the right direction. My failures are going to be a blessing to me because it'll drive me closer to the Lord. But there's an experience tonight that too many people have. We have religion. We come and we have tradition, and there's nothing wrong with tradition, and we need to meet together. But folks, tonight, it's not going to get us to heaven.
Yeah.
It's going to matter. What matters is, are we tasting and drinking of that water that comes from Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
So what are you drinking of? And are you down there around that ditch? I'm trying to make it. It'll make you sick before long. And then pretty soon people say, you know what? There's nothing to this.
Yeah.
You know, I tried it, and I tried to do what the church... Have you all heard people say that?
Yes.
Well, I'm trying to do what the church teaches. There's attitude right there. And this is not working. I don't want that. Folks, I don't want it either. Did you hear me?
Yes.
I don't want it. I want something that's real tonight. I want something that's personal tonight. And when I get something real and get something personal and you get something real and personal, we'll come together and we're not doing it because of each other. We're doing it because our heart has been changed by Jesus Christ. And then when others look on and say, well, that's just tradition. No, it's not. You step into that water and have your life changed. You'll be living just like we live. Because we've been touched by the power of God.
Yes.
You realize then it goes way beyond what people say. This is between you and God now tonight. What kind of experience do you have tonight? Do you have a personal walk with God? Can you go to bed at night and just have that bubbling up in your spirit of joy, even in the difficult times, and say, by the grace of God, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for victory. Lord, I was struggling right here, and you came through, and I was touched by that water. Lord, there's a place that was dead in my life, and you came along, and you inspired, and you brought healing. And now there's fish again.
Yeah.
Now the plants are growing where before it was dead. Do you know the Lord wants to do that? To the unsaved and to the saved. If you will open up your heart to be touched by the living waters of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. There is no drought. In summer and winter it shall be there. There is no drought of God's grace tonight. You say, I tried it before. You come to the well of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You come thirsty. You come with a desire in your heart that no matter what it takes, Lord, I want to get in this stream of your grace and of your power, and you will find it will work. It shall come to pass. Over in the book of Joel, see, these are prophecies out of Isaiah and Ezekiel and Joel now. In the third chapter of Joel, in the 18th verse, let's read what the prophet Joel said. He said, it shall come to pass in that day. You notice that all these prophets kept saying in that day. Yeah. You know, I wonder how many of them went to bed at night saying, Lord, when is that day going to come? I wonder what I am thankful to be living in that day today. I'm thankful I can tell the prophets this is what it's like to be touched. When those living waters come into that Dead Sea, he said, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim. You know what the valley of Shittim is? It was a desert place. It was uncivilized. Says that the history says it was grown over with thorns. It wasn't a place you'd want to stay. And it's talking about these living waters that flowed out of the house of God as it went to the Dead Sea and transformed it. It also passed through some deserts, some places that there were thorns, and it transformed even that wilderness, that desert place. You know, if there are thorns in your life tonight, there is a transforming power through the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you will just say, Lord, I want to step into that water. Yeah. I want to get in a little bit deeper. You say, but I'm already saved. Then wade out a little bit deeper. Yeah. Come on a little bit more. And if you're not saved, you say, well, I've tried this and it's impossible. There is nothing impossible with God tonight.
Right.
There's nothing impossible. He can transform the vilest of sinners. He can take your addictions. He can take your secret sins. He can take the relationships that are broken tonight. And he can transform your life when you'll open up your heart and say, Lord, do whatever you want. But I want to get in the middle of that stream.
Yes.
So, thank God I used to be a Dead Sea, but now there's been healing.
Yeah.
And there's life. Thank God for that. Blessings of God are rich. As we bring the message to a close tonight, there's another prophecy in Isaiah. Very familiar passage of Scripture. In the 41st chapter of Isaiah, in the 17th verse, he said it this way. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue fails for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. You have some dry places in your life tonight. You have some places that, as you have listened, not to my voice, but to the Holy Spirit tonight, that inside there's something that's saying, that's what I want. That's what I wish I could have. The Scripture says that in a place that there is no water, he said, but there's thirst, he said, I will hear them. And he said, I, the Lord God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places.
Yeah.
He said, and fountains in the midst of the valley. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and this dry land of springs of water. Tonight, if your experience is just dried out, you know what I'm talking about? Dried experience. Just seems like you've got a form of godliness. But it seems like there's no life. Jesus Christ came tonight that we could have life. He came that we could enjoy the daily presence of God in our life. And if you are thirsty tonight, if you do not have Jesus, if you are not saved tonight, and you have not opened up your heart to the Lord, if you will come and say, Lord, I want to step into that healing stream. Lord, I want to change in my life. And I may not understand how it works, and I don't really know what's going to happen, but Lord, I know I want to change. The Lord will not forsake you tonight if you'll come and open up your heart. And if there is anyone here tonight, if you're saved, and you've been saved and living for the Lord, and yet your experience is starting to be like a little desert. And there's not much spiritual life. There's just not a lot of life. You know that you've heard the expression, the light's on but no one's home? Spiritually speaking tonight. We can say, well, we've got the doctrines. I go to church with good, holy people. And I'm doing a lot of good things. But inside, there's just a deadness. It's been a desert. There's a healing stream tonight that you can bring those dead spots to the Lord, and the Lord will not forsake you. He will hear your cry. He will see the need of your heart and the need of your spirit. And there is water sufficient tonight for each and every one of us. It will not dry up. There's enough for all of us. And it is for this reason that in the 7th chapter of John, Jesus stood up at the feast. And he said, If any man thirst, let him come to me and let him drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture says, shall be out of his belly wells of living water. If anyone is thirsty tonight, if anyone has a need in their life, there is a place tonight that you can come, and those waters can transform what has been dry, what has been dead, what you have been struggling with. There is a power of grace tonight that can reach to each one of our deepest needs. May God bless us. Let's be faithful tonight. Let's be faithful. If you think, well, it sounds really good, but practically, this is real tonight. It works, and it will work in your life.
Thank you, Lord.